The voice of a gifted spiritual teacher carries authenticity, inspiration, and insight, all of which are transmitted in an instant. My name is Tammy Simon, and this is Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True. In this excerpt from Encountering the Wisdom Jesus, author and teacher Cynthia Bourgeau explores the questions, what did Jesus actually teach? And what path of transformation is he actually taking us through?
So what did Jesus actually teach, anyway? Well, here's another place where the overfamiliarity that's bred into us as a Christian culture can actually get in our way. Many have grown up with Jesus all their lives. They know a few of the parables, like, for example, the Good Samaritan or the Prodigal Son. Some can even quote a few of the Beatitudes. Most can stumble through the Lord's Prayer. But how often do you ever hear the teaching considered as a whole, assessed? Other teachers, leaders on a path, it seems right and fair to ask what kind of path they're on. What does the Dalai Lama teach? What's Gangaji teach? But we never ask this question about Jesus. What is it that he's teaching? What path of transformation is he taking us down? One Texas theologian remembers the whole of his Sunday school upbringing in the following one-sentence phrase, "Jesus is nice, and he wants us to be nice, too." But when we get below the surface of this teaching, we find there's a lot more going on, a whole lot more going on. One of the most important books to come out in recent years is a book called Putting on the Mind of Christ, by a man by the name of Jim Marion, who of all things is a Washington lawyer. But his title says something in itself. The title, Putting on the Mind of Christ, is actually a direct quote from St. Paul. And it calls us up short to what we're actually supposed to be doing on this path, which is putting on the mind of Christ. It's true that for the past 1,600 years, at least, Christian belief has put a lot more emphasis on the things we know about Jesus. Remember, I talked a little bit earlier about how orthodox has come to be interpreted as knowing the right things, having the right beliefs. In other words, what's really getting patterned into us is not just a series of beliefs that we have to sign on the dotted line about, but the fact that this is the correct an appropriate way to relate to Jesus, i.e. through a series of beliefs. And in the evangelical arm of Christianity, this tendency to relate to Jesus through belief gets even more accentuated. So, in other words, the Christianity of the West has been a matter of signing on the dotted lines to a series of beliefs, to a series of faith statements made about who Jesus is. And right practice is often indistinguishable from right belief. But this certainly wasn't how it was done in the early church. And it certainly is not how it can possibly be done if we're talking about coming into a living relationship with a wisdom master. So Jim Marion's book, even by its title, brings us right back to the ballpark, the central challenge that Jesus offered us and that the first generation of Christians picked up so profoundly. How do we put on this mind? How do we see from the same eyes that he saw from? How do we see from the same heart? How do we respond to the world in that same way? That's what Christian orthodoxy really is all about. The rubber hits the road not in right belief, but in right practice, in being able to repeat the results. So Jim Marion considers this question from a most interesting perspective. he notices that Jesus uses one phrase over and over and over to describe his teaching, and that phrase is the kingdom of heaven. And it's easy to pick up if you simply browse through your regular Bible, whatever you have. You don't even have to go to the Gospel of Thomas or any of these new foundings. This phrase, kingdom of heaven, hits you like a brick wall out of all four Gospels. It seems to be Jesus' favorite way of talking about what he has in mind. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is this. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Whatever this kingdom of heaven is, it's of foundational importance to what Jesus is trying to teach. So what is this kingdom of heaven? Well, biblical scholars have debated this for almost as long as there have been biblical scholars. And a lot of people, particularly on the more evangelical arm, assume that the kingdom of heaven means heaven. It's the place you go when you die if you've been good. But the problem with that is that Jesus specifically contradicts it, because he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So it's not later. If anything, it's lighter. It's some other level that has to be accessible to you right here and now. The other thing that biblical theologians have loved to do is to equate it with a earthly utopia. The kingdom of heaven would be a realm in which there's peace and justice and equal distribution of economic benefits. It would be a reign of God's justice on earth. And for thousands of years, people have been trying to recreate that kingdom of heaven as a political utopia. But that doesn't work either. And in point of fact, Jesus specifically denied that and shirked that when they tried to pin it on him back in Jerusalem of his day. They all wanted him to be the Messiah, the new David, the earthly king that would bring Israel back to its former glory, to its pinnacle position as the greatest kingdom of the world, that it would set it up as a kingdom of earthly freedom and justice. But Jesus shirked that, and he said strongly and powerfully, "My kingdom is not of this world." So it's not that either. So what is it? What Jim Marion suggests, which is so wonderfully insightful and contemporary, is that the kingdom of heaven really is a code word. It's a symbol for a state of consciousness. Not a place you go to, but a place you come from, a new way of looking at the world, a transformed consciousness. And he suggests specifically that it's Jesus' own favorite phrase to describe a state which nowadays we would be more likely to call non-dual consciousness or unitive consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is a state of non-dual awareness. It's a different way of seeing the world, a different consciousness within the human being. And the earmarks of this non-dual state, which Jim Marion picks up so beautifully, is that non-duality is a state of no separation. So the kingdom of heaven sees no separation between God and humans, and no separation between humans and humans. It's all one.
You've been listening to Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True, sponsored by Bread for the Journey. For more wisdom for the inner life, please visit www.soundstrue.com.